This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning and welcome. For those, I see we have a few that have arrived a little later. Happy Father's Day to those of you that's just joined us. And I pray that this might be a blessed day for all the men in this Zoom and all the men in this country. And as Greg was saying, there's so few good fathers. And so it's such a need in the world today. Is we're seeing a father's generation, and we entrust that God will really empower us and give us grace as men and as fathers to be fathers to this nation. We're going to start a 10-week sermon series on Joseph, and I entitled this Dream to Destiny. And we're going to look at Joseph's life, and we're going to see what Joseph had to get and what he had to go through to get to the point where he could go from a dream to come to his destiny, the calling that God has got for his life. And I believe in the series, there'll be many tidbits and very nuggets that will really encourage you and help you in your life in getting what God has for you, and also helping you get a little bit unstuck in those areas that you might be feeling a little bit frustrated or a little bit stuck. And so I'm really excited about this series. It's hopefully going to take us a little bit off the focus of COVID-19 at the same time, so that we can just spend some time in Scripture, in the Word, and really just delve into as we are reflecting and having time to reflect. And I know many of us are asking, but God, what do you have for me? Where am I going? What's this all about? And so in conversations that I've been having with people, I'm realizing that I think this is such a perfect word for this year, such a perfect word for the season and this time. And I think it fits in beautifully with the sermon that I gave in the beginning of the year with the double portion blessing of Elijah and Elisha, and the prophetic word that I gave in the beginning of this year. And many of us go, okay, there's a double portion. Okay, there's a calling, there's an anointing for us, but now what? And I'm hoping this sermon series will help us work through the now what part. And so let me just start sharing my screen a little bit and just chat us through this. We're looking at the story of Joseph, I said, and we find this in Genesis 37 to Genesis 50, the story of Joseph. And I invite and encourage you to go and work through this part of Scripture. We're going to take a lot of time on this, and we'll be delving not just obviously in the Scriptures, but a lot of the New Testament as well that proves and the case of what this man had to go through. And so we're looking at the 10 character tests of Joseph. And I put on all 10 so I can excite you for what's to come. And when you hear the word character test, it's not something that excites us. It's not something that we go, yay, character test, wonderful, I can't wait. But at the same time, there's no ways that you can get through life without going through these character tests. And so in order to obtain the calling and the purpose that God has for us, I believe these 10 tests are the tests that we'll go through. It's not necessarily that you'll go through them in the same order. I remember many, many years ago, I went through something really, really hard, really intense in my life. It was a very hard time in my life. And a very good friend of mine's wife said, Bernie, you are in the pit. And I was going, no, because I wanted to be like in almost the end part. You know, the next step will be it. You know, you go through one big challenge and you go, okay, God, so the next thing is my destiny. And I knew the pit is just step two. And so I knew how to go through a lot of things still in my life before I'm going to get that calling that God has for me on my life and the words that God has given me. And for some of us, I'm going to start out by saying some of us have a dream and some of us are going through, some of us don't have a dream yet. And we're going to go a little bit and delve a little bit into that as well. But so we're starting today with chapter one, the pride test. And I put this beautiful squiggly little map created this for us. And doesn't this feel so much like life, right? You're going for it, and the next thing you've got a dip, and then you're going forward and up, and then it seems like you're going backwards again, and you're kind of going, God, but why? You know, you said I've got this calling to do this, and now I'm doing this, and now my company has failed, Now I'm sitting without a job, Lord, and you said I was going to feed the nations, but I don't even have a job now, Lord. I'm in jail. I'm in debt. How am I going to get out of this, Lord? Where now? And part of this road and journey is exactly what it is. It's a character test that we need to go through. So this is chapter one. This is the pride test that we're working through today, and very excited. And we're going to jump in straight into scripture. We're going to, let me just get my own screen here so I can see what's written here. And we're gonna read through a little bit of scripture, and then we're going to delve into it. Before we get into the scripture, let's just open up in prayer. Father, we thank you that we know that you are with us, you are for us. And as that last song that we sang with Greg, you are beside us, and we do not have to be afraid, because you are wherever we find ourselves, whether we find ourselves in the palace or whether we find ourselves in the pit, Father, there you are with us. And you never leave us. You never forsake us. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you'll come and speak into our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and open up the Word of God. Come and excite us for what you're doing, Lord. Let us look beyond our means. Let's look beyond what we're seeing in the natural, and let's move into the spiritual. Let's move, Lord, and see, as you promised Abraham, a beautiful land, a beautiful land of promise. And he arrives in this land, and all he sees is drought, and there's nothing there but a parched land. We thank you, Lord, that you can open our eyes, like you open the eyes of the prophet, to see the dry bones, but not only see the dry bones, but see you blow life over those dry bones. And so we speak to our own dry bones, and we speak to our own dry parts in our life, and we speak life, and we pray and ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll blow the breath of life into those promises. Remind us of the promises, and those of us that are still waiting for the promises, we pray for those promises that you'll come and give us, Lord, promises of our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you that there's a promise and a purpose for every person on this planet. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his fathers had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers. The sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. Now, those are not names that you hear every day. Beautiful names. Please do not call your children by those names. If you're feeling very led by spirit, maybe make it their second name rather than their first names. People might have a bit of a problem pronouncing those beautiful names. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because his father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. And let's just stop there for now. And please excuse me as I look at my other screen. Please note, very interesting, that the promise that God gave Joseph was when he was 17 years old, and he only started, didn't walk in the fullness of it, only started walking in it when he was 30. So a lot happened between the age of 17 to 30, and that's what we're going to delve into here. And something that we see in the scripture, I don't know if you thought about this, this is a very dysfunctional family. I don't know if you saw that. First of all, we have a younger son that is a tattletale that goes to his dad and says, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, Buti's doing this, Buti's doing that." And I don't know if you've been around teenagers, they can be an interesting bunch. And we find that he's a tattletale. He's always going to his dad and saying, "Daddy, brothers are doing this, brothers are doing this." And to add to this, we find that Joseph, all right, is the favored son. Joseph has this beautiful coat. I know you've seen the technicolored coat. It doesn't say technicolored coat, just for a word. It's a beautiful robe. That's all it says. And he has this beautiful robe. And all the sons look at this. And listen, they could not say a kind word to him. So you've got brothers that can't stand him. One, because he's running to daddy all the time. Two, because he's daddy's favorite. this is not the perfect family. I know when we look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see, oh man, beautiful promises of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But I just want to bring us a little bit of hope. If you're feeling, I am failing as a father, it's Father's Day, and I don't see myself getting it right, I want to encourage you that Scripture says that this family was far from getting it right. Okay, so let's move on to the next scripture. Carrying on with that, one night, now listen carefully to this. One night, Joseph had a dream, and went and told his brothers about it. They hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out on the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before me. His brothers responded, so do you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams, and listen carefully, and the way he talked about them. Now listen, this is now a typical 17-year-old, right? So we see that these brothers already didn't like him, and now they just absolutely hate him. Not only is he telling them that he's got this dream, a typical 17-year-old, this guy, hey guys, listen, I've had this dream. Just an absolute immaturity. But not only does he say it, but it's the way he said it. So he was very sarcastic. He was very hard. He was very nasty in the way that he was sharing this dream. Soon Joseph had another dream. And once again, he has not learned. And again, he told his brothers about it. Listen, I've had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time, he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dream meant. So that's just kind of like hardcore, right? That's like, what is this about? And so I want to say to you this morning, I want to just encourage you and say that there is a dream for your life. So my point one that I'm going to make this morning is that this dream is from God, right? The dream is from God. Him bragging about the dream is not of God. That's kind of obvious, right? And how can you know? So this is the question. Many of us ask this question. How can you know what is the dream for my life? Lord, what is the dream? And the answer is very simple. Get to know God. Get to know God. And Scripture says, I'm just going to read it here, in Numbers 12, 6 to 8, it says, and the Lord said to them, now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. And the reason that Moses could see and hear God is because he seeked God. He wanted to know God. We need to get to know the giver of the dreams and the one that reveals it and fulfills it. We need to know the God and King of Kings that reveals these dreams and actually makes them happen. If you don't know the King of Kings, you cannot move in the revelation and the knowledge of what the dream is or even have that dream. The dream comes in knowing and seeking the heart of God. All right, and then we see in John 15, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for servants does not know what the master is doing, but I, being Christ, have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And we see once again that in Scripture with Moses, it says that the children of Israel knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. He spoke to Moses as a friend. And God has a dream for every single one of us. And I want to encourage you with that, that God truly has a dream for your life. And let me just see what I wrote here. Yes, So it's really important. And as we're going through, okay, so I have these dreams for my life. And I want to say that many of us have dreams for our lives, but it is not of God. It is not godly dreams. It's selfish dreams. And if I was to ask any of us here that's zooming in this morning, if I had to ask you, if you can put up your hand, if you are over 40, I would say, so if you can be in that room, you can say, that's me, I'm over 40. I've got really bad news for you. During this lockdown, you are not going to get a phone call from the Springbok coach to say, Bud, Pity, George, Nige, you are going to play for the Springboks. There's just no way. It's at the age of 40 that you're going to be called. And I know many of us played rugby at school, and many of us have dreamed and envisioned standing for those large crowds and being able to play provincial or even for the Springboks. But if you're 40 and you haven't got that phone call, I've got bad news. It ain't coming. And you need to let go of that dream. You need to let go of those things that is not of God and hold on to the dreams that is of God. So to start off with, you have to examine your own heart and go, what are the dreams that I'm having that might not be God? That might just be my own selfish and my own soul that's ministering and that I'm looking for. All right. And then we see in Genesis there in 37 verse 8, it says, and they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Point two. If you brag about your dream, you will never reach it. If you brag and boast about your anointing, about your calling, you will never reach it. Now, here's the good thing. I believe that Joseph totally failed this first test. He absolutely miserably, as a 17-year-old, missed it. But I believe that God never allows us to fail a test. He just keeps on letting us redo it. You know, it's kind of like you when you got your car license, when you went for your learners, or when you got your actual license. Many of us will not admit this, but we failed like a whole lot of times. I'm one of those lucky guys. I was living in Krabow, and I went and I can't think of the English. Ek het gaan uitpasseer in Krabow, and there is not a robot in Krabow. So I mean, there's no way I could have failed. So. I was one of those lucky guys, and when I moved to Cape Town, the first thought that I had was there was no way I'd get my license, even after having my license for, I don't know, maybe almost 20 years or whatever it is when I moved over 15 years. There was no way that I'd get my license driving in Cape Town. I mean, just driving in Cape Town is a nightmare, right? Never mind trying to get your license. But for many of us, we went the first time and we maybe failed it, then we went for a second time and maybe even a third time. And finally, we got that exam. We passed it. And that's how God, I believe, works with us. He gives us the same test over and over and over till we pass. And that's how good God is. And so therefore, there's hope. So once again, we see that Joseph actually missed this first test. And God still gave him that hope. God still gave him the grace to get it right. So in other words, you don't have to fail this one, and God will always be a God of grace and allow you to get it right, even though some of us have to take the test 43 times. So what's really important to remember is that the dream leads to God's destiny, but we need to stop bragging. Something I've noticed with a lot of young people, especially working in Shofar Stellenbosch, for many years, and I still give a lot of teachings there, working with the students and stuff, and working with young people, I noticed that absolute boldness, but to absolute arrogance at the same time. When people come to you and say, do you know how anointed I am? Do you know how special I am? Do you know what God's called me to do? And I can tell you that most people that do that never reach that calling. I remember when I was a student pastor, and there was a prayer day, and not a student pastor, I was the youth pastor, and CS was still a student pastor in Stellenbosch, and there was a prayer thing, and we had a bunch of churches together, and this one pastor from this church, this one student pastor, just became a student pastor, came up to CS and said, God said that all the students in Stellenbosch is mine, and I am called to be the student pastor of Stellenbosch. And CS just politely smiled at him and said, that's wonderful. And 3 years later, this pastor wasn't even in Stellenbosch anymore. And he just left. I don't know what the story was, but he had this arrogance. He had this absolute, I'm here. The world's going to stop because I'm here. And once again, he just left. He didn't even make it. I remember when I was in Cape Town, this one young guy came to me and he said to me, he asked me, Bernie, how do I become the prophet of Cape Town? And it was just in conversation, and immediately I was bowled over by this question. I was really taken aback, and I couldn't help but laugh. And my answer was for him, you don't. And I had to talk him through it, and I had to help him think through this. But if he asked me today, and I was a little bit more sober, I'd say through much suffering would be my answer to him today. But the point was, he was 5 years in Cape Town and then he went to the Eastern Cape. And he's never returned back to Cape Town. And so once again, we have these selfish desires that's of ourselves, or we just boast. So when we boast, often we boast and we're not going to receive the promise that God has for us because we are boasting about the things that God has said for us. For many of us, God, we say, oh, God's called me to do great things. And it's not about the great things that God's calling you for. That's not what it's about. But we'll get back to that now. So let's look, and I'm going to put this slide up here. Let's look at Joseph's heart. Let's quickly see if we can identify a few things in his heart that might have been just a little bit off. All right. So here's what's important. This might be a shocker to you. The dream that Joseph had was not his destiny. Think about this. God did not call Joseph, right, to have his father and his brothers bow down to him. That was not the destiny. That was just a fruit of the destiny. Isn't that interesting? So I'm going to get back to that now. Joseph brought a bad report before the dream. Before the dream already, he was already that guy that was not doing what Scripture teaches us, to go to your brother if you've got something against him. But he rather went to tattletale to his dad to say, putties, 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 putties. And remember, he's the youngest. So in the culture, it was very, very ill-advised. In that culture, if you were the youngest, you were the least. And you couldn't just do what you wanted to do. There would have been a protocol for you to have done things the right way. All right, so we see that he already had a problem with his mouth. He couldn't stop jabbering and talking. He gets a vision, and immediately he's sharing. He gets this dream, and he immediately shares with his family what's happening. And immediately he's going like, "I'm called. I'm anointed. Hello, you're all going to bow before me." So his purpose was not to have his brothers bow down before him, and I mentioned that before. His destiny was to save multitudes of people. And we see that he was not humble with the dream. Humility, humility, humility. There's no humility with the dream that God had given him. So if God gives you a dream for your life, don't go running and tell the world about your dream. I've been around the prophetic for many years, and I've been around where you give words and visions and prophecies over people's life, and they run with it and they tell the world and they're very excited, and I totally understand that. But it's really important to remember, slow your roll. Let God confirm the vision in your heart, allow it to build, and then pray about it, maybe share it later on with a few trusted friends and take it from there. Right. So I just want to get back to that this was not the purpose. Why did God not give him a dream of saving millions of people? Why didn't God show that Joseph was going to feed the nations? Why was that not the dream? Well, I have a few theories on that. One, that does not motivate a 17-year-old person. A 17-year-old is all about themselves. Me, myself, and I. It's the iPhone generation. So Joseph was walking around with his iPhone tweeting about his brothers. and we see that with young adults. We see that with teenagers. There's just such a immaturity and such a me focus. And there is an immaturity This will happen because there was an immaturity towards God. He did not have a relationship with the Lord as well as it should be. We don't see him doing things godly as described early. So there's an immaturity within the Lord that he has. And here we go. You might have a dream of being great, but being great is not God's purpose for your life. And that's the problem that we see here. And listen to this. God was revealing to Joseph, here's the nugget, what his heart truly was. His heart was that he would want people to recognize him. He'd want the world to see him. He'd want his brothers, because he is the least at this point. He'd want them to bow down before him. He'd want them that. And so many of us, when we go through life and we be honest about what we desire power and we desire people to see us and recognize us and just say, you are amazing. Wow, you're so amazing. And that's why when we look at Facebook, you don't put on those photos when things are going bad and you've just woken up from a sleepless night with your child and the child's screaming and the teeth are coming out and it's absolute blue murder. No, we show the photos on the beach and the nice cute photos of the happy child, the happy family. That's what we portray to the world, but we're not going to portray the full truth. And we have to go and look, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying put on all the photos of your child screaming. But there is a massive truth in that God was busy revealing to Joseph what his true heart is. I had a good conversation with a very good friend of mine, and I've mentioned him quite a bit in my grow group, DF on a Pfeiffer, and I had a dream of DF. And so I climbed on the phone. I said, DF, and he's a farmer, big guy, farmer in the Northern Cape. And I phoned him up and said, DF, I had a dream about you. And we spoke about what I dreamt, and I could encourage him and he could encourage me. And it was just a beautiful catch-up time. I haven't spoken to him for a long while. But he said something profound that really stuck with me. He said, Bernie, when we were in Shofar and we were 20 years old, it was all about the destination. And that's what young people are. It's all about, I'm called to do great things. God is calling me to save the world. And we believed as students that we could change the earth and that we were the solution to every problem. All right. If you ask any teenager, they've got the solution to everything. If you talk to any South African, they are the best Springbok coach in the world. They've got all the solutions. And then DF said, when he reached 30, he realized it's not about the destination anymore. It's about the journey. It's all about the journey and the journey in the teeth and where God's taking me and it's the road I have to walk. And he said, him and I are the same age. He said, when I reached 40, I realized it's about the character. It's about my character on this journey. Isn't that so beautiful? The older we get, the more we realize it's about that, not just the journey in the teeth, but how I'm changing, how my character is transforming, either more into Christ or less into Christ. And we're looking for absolute humility. That's what God has called us to, called us into. Right. So Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We see this with Joseph. We see that out of the heart, he's talking. You guys are going to bow to me. I'm more important than you. I'm more than you. And we've got this saying, right? We come up to people and we often tell people, you don't know my heart. And I'd like to challenge you on that. Because according to Matthew 12, verse 34, it says, for out of the abundance, the heart speaks. In other words, if I listen to you long enough, I am going to hear your heart. I won't see your full heart, but I will pick up what is in your heart, because that's what your mouth is going to come out of your mouth. See, pride is in our hearts. And I can tell you your heart by just listening to it. So listen to this very carefully. Pride always wants to be heard. Pride always wants to be heard. It always wants to speak. It always wants to say. I don't know if you've been in a conversation where you were really hurt, where someone said something nasty to you. and if you actually had to go look at it, it was probably because that person had a moment of pride when they were just wanting to say something or just push their agenda or just show how important they are. And so many times, pride is the thing that wants to come out of our heart. So how do we deal with pride? If pride is in your heart, listen carefully to this. If pride is in your heart, insecurity is in your soul. We have pride because we are insecure. And if we had to go and look at our insecurities, we'd be able to deal with our pride. For many of us, we're dealing with pride. We're dealing with pride in the fruit, but we're not getting to the root of what the pride is because of the insecurities that we have. So with every new challenge comes new insecurities. Let me put this up on the screen here for you guys so you can just meditate on this. And I'm losing my mouse here. So that you can meditate on this as I'm working through this. All right. So if pride is in your heart, insecurity is in your soul. With every new challenge comes new insecurities. As we get promoted in life, as we go through life, you'll find new insecurities. So you are secure. You're a single man, a single woman. You're insecure. You're secure in yourself. And now you get married. Or now you start dating and now insecurities come out that you've never seen before. Or now you get married, starting to get engaged in a new season and new insecurities and you get married, something. Or you have a job and then you get a new job. You know, you get that promotion. And now new challenges come up in this new promotion and new insecurities start picking up. And every new level of responsibility comes, with every new level of responsibility comes new insecurities. All right. If you're seeing a prideful person, you are seeing an insecure person. We need to realize when promotion comes that we cannot do it, but Christ is the one that can do it. Christ is the one that helps us do it. So we are either more confident in ourselves, making space for pride, or we are more confident in Christ, which is that step of absolute humility. We're getting towards closer to the end. And so, you know what's really beautiful about scripture, about Christ? It says in Matthew 4, verse 6, Satan comes up to Jesus and he does this folly thing during the time in the desert, this 40 days in the desert, and he's busy fasting. And it says that the enemy came and tested Jesus at the end of his fast. So, in other words, he's really weak. He's really tired. He's really hungry. He's really just relying on the Holy Spirit at that time. Because after 40 days, obviously your whole body starts shutting down, and you actually have to just step up into the spirit realm. And Satan comes to him and says, "If you are the Son of God," you know what's beautiful? Jesus never does, and what Jesus does not say to him, "I am the Son of God." You know, it's like, "I am," and the devil's, "No, you're not." And then Jesus, "Yes, I am." And then the devil's like, "No, you're not." We don't see that. We see the Son of God is so secure in himself and in God that he does not have to defend himself. Isn't that beautiful? This is how we deal with our insecurities. This is how we deal with it. So I'd like to give an analogy, if I may. So if there's this woman, she lives in the city, and she's just a pauper, a poor person, nothing special. And there's a prince, and he lives in a castle, and he notices this beautiful woman. And what he does is he leaves his kingdom and lives like a pauper, so that he might meet this woman, so that she might fall in love with him, and not with his power and his money and who he is. As in by the status that he has, but who he really is. And so they fall in love and they get married, and he takes her to the castle, and she finds out that he's a prince, and they get married and she becomes the queen. How does she deal with this? How does she work through the insecurities of this? right? So first of all, she knows that she's the queen because she's married to the king. But how does she not allow pride to step in? She remembers where she comes from. In other words, for us, God has a destiny for your life, right? So how do I make sure I get this right? So how do I not have insecurities? How do I not allow my insecurities? By understanding that I'm a child of the king. And how do I deal with my pride? By remembering where I come from. So understanding I'm a child of the king deals with my insecurity, and remembering where I come from deals with my pride. You will never reach your destiny till you deal with pride. Let us pray together, and then after this, we're going to break up into groups, and let's just discuss this. What has God spoken to you? What have you heard through this sermon? What stands out for you? And let's chat about that after we've prayed. But let's just close first in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you, and we recognize, Lord, that we are in so need of you. Lord, we have all dealt with pride in some other area, some other time in our lives. We have dealt with pride. We all struggle at some point with pride. And not just once, Lord. Many times we look and realize, but there's pride. And so, Father, I pray that we will have the revelation where we come from. In other words, God, that we were lost. Without you, we would have had a life of damnation. But because we've received Christ into our hearts, we can take you, and we can know that we are sons and daughters of the living God. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have no insecurities, because we are sons of the living God. But Lord, we pray that we will never forget where we've come from. We have come out of the clay, out of the miry pits, and you have pulled us up. And Lord, if anyone here is watching today and they've never received Christ, I pray that you will just reach out, maybe right now or maybe a little later, just sit and pray to God and call unto the King of Kings and say, Lord, I need you to be my Lord and Savior. I recognize my pride, and without you, Lord, I am nothing and no one. So, Lord, we give you our pride and we give you our insecurities. We pray for the revelation that we are sons and daughters. We pray for the revelation and the remembrance that without you, we are nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.